By the way, I might mention that Mrs. Miller's grandfather has been a Baptist preacher for many, many, many years. A Baptist preacher, I might say, of the old school, not of the modern trend. Romans 8, one verse with which to begin this morning. You will be following through, as usual, various passages of Scripture that point out God's working among His people. In the 14th verse of Romans 8, these words are recorded. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Let me repeat it. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So we mentioned last week that the Holy Spirit indwelling the child of God leads that child. He or she cannot stray, for the Holy Spirit leads His children. In God's plan and purpose for His family, this is the normal experience. And in the experiences of life, all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and to them that are the called according to His purpose. All things. Now, there's a lot of discussion today among people, very shallow discussion, by the way, of what spirituality is and what it is not. And here on this side, you have the citizens of this world society who are, maybe, very religious. And by the way, let me pause. Matt and I met a man this past week that some of you would know if I mentioned his name. He has not been in this area for 15 or 16 years, but some of you would know him. So I must be careful not to mention his name. This man, and of course, didn't know me from Adam's off ox. He was an extremely profane individual, one of the most profane people that I have had the occasion to meet in some time. A man that was 70 years old, and found that I was from Raleigh County, and immediately began to question me on the people that I knew. Well, he knew many of you. This man, in the course of conversation, I said, well, did you ever know Shirley Donnelly? I was searching for something, you see. I was being as wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. I said, did you ever know Shirley Donnelly? Why, I said, I reckon I did know Shirley Donnelly. Said, I was one of the founders of the Bird Bible Class. I was a member of the church for I don't know how many years. My boys sang in the choir. I helped build that church along with certain expletives and profane remarks about his labors there. And I told Matt following, I said, that's religion. That's religion. So this world society may have a religion, and they will discuss what spirituality is. Now, in many cases, spirituality consists of what people do not do. They make up the list, you know, I don't do this, and I don't do that, and I don't do the next thing. Therefore, I am spiritual. But a spiritual Christian, beloved, a spiritual child of God, is a spirit-filled child who is conscious of the indwelling Spirit of Christ. It is the unhindered spirit manifesting Christ through that child of God, producing in him or her Christian character, a Christ-likeness, and producing the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law, Galatians 5:22. Spirituality is the Holy Spirit working in the children of God, producing the fruit of the Spirit. It does not consist of what you do not do, but spirituality is that which you do live, and that which you do do. The Holy Spirit, spirituality is the Holy Spirit energizing the child of God into true Christian service through a gift of the Spirit. By personal instruction in the Word of God, so that ye need not let any other man teach you, but you are taught of God, studying to show yourself approved unto God, workmen that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. Beloved, the Word of God takes every aspect of human effort, every aspect of human endeavor, every aspect of human work, and casts it to one side and says, what you are by the grace of God. Even so far as what you know about the Bible. So no man can stand back and say, I learned this, or this is my thinking on the matter. It is the Holy Spirit manifesting a gift through the child. Now there are many, many children of God who do not know this. They've been influenced. Spirituality is the energizing and the inspiring of the Holy Spirit in the child of God to praise and thanksgiving. He is to be thankful. In everything, give thanks unto God. In everything. Well, let me hark back to just 9:10 this morning. I told Matt, I was telling the Sunday school class, I told some of you this morning that I told Matt that yesterday I said I'm going to roll this thing to 150,000 miles before I get rid of it. Well, you know, man proposes and God disposes. He does what he wants to do. But, be that as it may, one split second longer, and that yellow Volkswagen would have caught me full power in the door. 1/10 of a second, I'd have had the front end of that Volkswagen in my lap. That's how long it would have taken. Had I been just a matter of a half a car length. Or had that girl not been where she was, and God pity her, had she not been where she was, it would have been a roadside. Now God disposes. He produces his will so that we can say all things work together for good. Willie said to me this morning, that car of yours, somebody did something else to that, didn't they? Well, they did. But I've learned, God has helped me to learn, that what happens to what you have doesn't make much difference. That is material thing. What does it matter? Somebody put that one together. Somebody's put another one together. I paid for that one, and it's already a wreck. So I might as well plan on paying for another one. All things work together for good. I don't have any decision in the matter now, you see. I don't have to decide. Now, these are just little things of life. But I'm trying to say that in the little things of life, God takes control. And he does. Wait upon the Lord. For they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and faint not. Sometimes you have to run. Sometimes God says, all right, it'll walk a while. Don't be in such a rush. Sometimes God says, it'll sit down and shut up. Just wait. Jesse, did you say I wish he would? Sometimes I don't do it, that's right. And then God does something else. He makes me do it. So, the Holy Spirit energizes the leading of the child of God. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Question, are you conscious of being led by the Spirit of God? Are you satisfied that He is leading you? Now, I'm not asking you whether or not you're satisfied with your condition. But have you learned with Paul the Apostle that in whatsoever state I am, therein to be content? Knowing that God is out of this situation, working His sovereign will. I've mentioned it to you before. Paul and Silas in Philippi. In the deepest dungeon of the jail. In chains. Committed to prison by Roman authority. Could receive the sentence of death at the whim of a Roman official. And at the midnight hour, they sat down and they sang praises unto God in the depths of that prison. Knowing that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and to them that are called according to His purpose, they accepted this as a good situation. And they praised God in song. And the angel of God came. Oh, you said, Richard, you really believe that? Believe it? I know it. He came and rocked the walls of that prison and shook the foundation. The doors fell away, and Paul and Silas stepped free of chains. And the jailer grabbed his sword and was going to fall on it. Paul said, don't hurt yourself, buddy. We're all here. We're not going to run anywhere. And you know what that old jailer said? Here was God in action. You know what he said, don't you? He said, sir, what must I do to be saved? Paul answered him, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And that same night, Paul baptized him in his own house. God had a purpose. Here was Philip set out on the road to Gaza by himself, out in the middle of the nowhere. He could have wondered, trudging along there, what in the world God ever put me out here for? But there was the Ethiopian eunuch. And he's got to preach to one man. One man. Paul sent Timothy, I told the Sunday school class this morning, Paul sent Timothy over to Crete, to pastor the church there. And he said, Paul, Timothy, he said, the Cretans are always gluttonous. They're always liars. But go over and preach to them. What a word of encouragement to a young preacher going over to preach to a congregation of people. But go do it. And so he said, I have learned in whatsoever state I am therein to be content, to accept situation as the will and purpose of God, to relax and say, thy will be done. Not to fight against God. Now, I mentioned the fact that spirituality is the output of the life of God in us. It doesn't come from my doing. I'm not a good person. I'm not a religious man. I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. And any good that comes out of a child of God is the expression of the life of God, which has been placed in him through and by the sovereign grace of God. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. The good works are not of us. They're a product of God. Now, this unregenerate world around us, will be saved. If the whole community of Maps got quit sinning today, and they're not going to do it, by the way. But if they were, they would be saved. Did you know that? No. If everybody in Raleigh County quit sinning, if it were possible, and they did this afternoon, that doesn't mean they would be saved. To a lot of people, that's the meaning of salvation. You quit sinning. Well, the Bible doesn't teach it. Therefore, it isn't so. Because those people, though they were even able to quit sinning, would not be born from above. Well, you say, preacher, doesn't being born again mean that you quit sinning? No. Nicodemus said to the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, how can a man be born when he's old? And shall he enter again into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus said, listen to his words, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but thou knowest not from whence it cometh, or whither it goeth. And so it is with the new birth. What's he saying? He said the new birth is the breath of God. You're not aware of its source at the time. You don't know the why or the how, but you know that within your heart there is a trembling, there is a dissatisfaction, there is an urge, there is a concern, and an awareness of the Spirit of God speaking. Let me tell you something. If that's your case, God's going to have you. He's going to have you. Now, you're not going to escape. The Christian would not be spiritual just because he abstains from something everybody else does. You can wash all the makeup off your face, you ladies can. You men too now, because you're wearing it all. You can put out your shape of motion, throw it away, take the shape of powder out of the medicine cabinet, throw it away, take your ring off your finger and put it down, and you can take your watch off and put it in your pocket, and you can throw your necktie away, and you can even quit wearing shoelaces. The ladies can make their dress sleeves long. They can put their collar tie. They can wear their hair long. They can go around like a great stone face, looking like they drank a pint of vinegar. And it will not create a spiritual life. Because spirituality is not what you put on. It's not what you wear. It's not what you eat. It's not what you drink. For that which enters into the mouth of man defileth not the man, but what is it? That which enters out of his heart. You can look ever so holy and ever so good. And what did Jesus say about the Pharisees? That they were white as sepulchres. Really? And the only thing they were filled, well, they were ornamental, but they were filled with dead men's bones. Shakespeare said another thing. A goodly apple rotteth at the core.
no matter what the outward appearance.
So in churches today, we are concerned about dressing up the outward appearance. But God is concerned with the inner man. My, I'm behind time. That bump on the head must have done more than I thought it did. And so, Paul, in writing to the Ephesian Christians, in verse 30 of chapter 4, writes these words. Well, let's go to 4:29 and read the verse preceding it. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed to the day of redemption. Now, what is it? How may I, as a child of God, grieve the Holy Spirit? It is He who ministers through us, and He who works in us. If He is grieved, He does not operate. He does not work through us. He ceases to work through us and begins to minister to us. You understand? He must then minister to us rather than through us. If he's grieved, he must bring us back into the way. So what is that which grieves the Holy Spirit? One thing, sin destroys spirituality. Now, when I say sin, immediately, right away, in the minds of some people, they begin to catalog sin. This isn't what we're talking about. Sin, and I've said this so many times, but I'll keep repeating it and keep repeating it, because it must be taken from young on up to old age. Sin does not consist of things. Now, sins may be the things that we do. You say, preacher, you're playing on words. Well, the Bible does it. Sin itself is the same sin of Adam. What was Adam's sin? Well, you said he ate of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Well, he did that. But what did Adam say when he ate of that fruit? God said, don't do it. The devil said, go ahead. To Eve. He said, go ahead. Eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and you shall be as God. What did he say? He said to Eve, he said, you and Adam can be your own God. That's sin. The rejection of God's sovereign purpose, saying that I'm going to run my own life. I'm going to go my way. I'll do what I please. That's sin. Now, this may result in a great many things that we do, but basically, it's the fact that I say, I'm my own God. I know right from wrong. I'll do what I please. It's not thy will be done, but my will be done. That's sin. So sin destroys spirituality. And so sin is tolerated. Unconfessed, the spirit who indwells the Christian, the child of God, must turn from ministering through him. He's grieved by it. The Holy Spirit does not withdraw, but he is grieved. Now, what's the cure? The Christian who has, the child of God, who has grieved the Holy, who is grieving the Holy Spirit because he'll not obey, and it's not preached anymore. The child of God who will not obey, who will not yield,
will not do that which God wants him or her to do, having sinned, what must he do? Now, it's not my job to name sins in the lives of people. That's not my job. I have enough trouble keeping track of my own. This is the Holy Spirit's task. He will, in God's grace, speak to you and to me of the sins in our life which grieve him. And this is sure. Now we speak only of known sins, not of sins of ignorance. Because at times I'm so stupid that I may not be able to know right from wrong. And that's true. And you are too. You don't know always what's right. If you do, come on out and stay with me. I'll feed you free and you can teach me. Now, we're talking about things that are known. Now, the Holy Spirit may be trusted. When he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will, get it now, instill it in your mind, he will lead you into all truth. He shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. He will. That's a positive statement. Not that he might, or that he can, but he will. Now, he can be trusted to show you in your life where your failures are. Then what's the remedy? You have to go to John. My little children, these things are written unto you that ye sin not. With the Father Jesus Christ the righteous. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, to pray about your sin is not enough. To admit sin is not enough. I can stand up before God and say, Lord, I'm a sinner. Well, God already knows that. I don't have to tell him that. But within my heart, the Holy Spirit gives me evidence that I have sinned. I then judge that thing within my own life. I am conscious of that sin. And I then plead the blood of Christ, my advocate, you see. I plead the blood of Christ. I try not to justify it. I try not. I will not make excuses. I don't say that. I'm not saying that I don't do that. I'm saying that this is God's way. The child of God does not make excuses for sin. He confesses it. Now, to confess sin means that I bring that thing openly before God. And I say, Lord, I am aware this is sin, that this is wrong, that this is something that you do not want me to do, but you have done. And immediately, we, not knowing how to pray as we ought to pray, the Holy Spirit immediately begins to make intercession for us. With groanings, with words which cannot be put into human language. He prays for us. Beloved, do you see the sovereign grace of God there? That we are unable to do it for ourselves. So when God sees the Spirit working in our hearts and he sees the response wrought in us through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, God in sovereign grace, through the advocacy of Jesus Christ, raises us to restore his fellowship with God. Now there are many of God's children out of fellowship. They're not lost. They're still God's children. The prodigal